Good evening and welcome once again to a busy studio as we attempt to unscramble the news, decipher the sports results, nibble curiously on Galnet, fervently hope that Amelia has survived whatever encounter we've sent her on, and have a notepad ready for all the system names that Flossie's going to read out during her bit.
What? Oh, sorry, I wasn't paying any attention. I thought we just made this up as we went along.
No. You know what they say? Poor prior planning precipitates poor performance.
No, you're just taking the pee.
Talking of that, our guest will be back from Cubicle 3 any second. Where shall we put him?
There's the umbrella stand in the corner.
Why do we need umbrellas? We're in a station. In space.
Sprinkler system. On the blink as usual.
Ah, that makes sense. I've got another question, though.
Do tell.
There's no gravity, so doesn't it just all blob up and float around?
Oh, I know this one. Is the answer Velcro?
No. Right. News. A wolf in ship's clothing.
Rampage did it. An incident report explains why.
In the penal colony.
Presence with no presence.
Thinking of drinking at LaveCon? You'll need hollow legs.
Please don't throw us in the briar patch.
Thargoids versus Guardians. We're out of their league.
Somebody's been a busy bee.
What have you been doing?
It has become apparent recently that certain pilots have been taking advantage of the unwritten rules of engagement when it comes to interactions with ne'er-do-wells, miscreants, and, to be blunt, we all know that carrying gold into the area around a compromised nav beacon is likely to gain the attention of many space buccaneers with their witty, if dreadfully repetitive, banter. Arriving at a res site with the odd art treasure, a few tons of platinum, or even just a solitary ton of Hutton mugs will attract pirates like flies to ships. Just minding your own business, taking byways from system to system, will eventually come to the attention of depraved souls who will declare your onboard barrels of sterilised dung to be tasty cargo. So what's a commander to do in the face of such naked aggression? How can the owner of a Type 9 space cow go about their legitimate business without playing interdiction tango or listening to inane posturing from the robber classes? This is where the good guys are blurring the boundaries. They're doing something that, frankly, is the equivalent of a soldier taking off their uniform, thus risking being shot as a spy. The latest underground tactic in fighting back against the forces of lawlessness is, in itself, illegal. They're using bootleg Apex Taxi paint jobs, since everyone knows that pirates are paid by protection money, often paid by, with protection money even, by Apex Interstellar Transport to allow their vehicles to pass unhindered. This has led to the unlikely sight of anacondas with a for-hire sign near the huge hardpoint, sidewinders with roof racks for luggage, and belugas refusing to go south of the ecliptic at this time of night. But, as they say, what sauce for the goose goes well with the other game you meet. Smugglers have taken to using the Apex paint jobs as a way of sneaking past patrols. Commanders with enormous notoriety levels have hand-painted Apex on a piece of cloth they've taped to the front of their ships in an effort to get to starport services without being recognised. And even the dastardly Don has Taxi alla Pici stenciled on his solid gold Panther Clipper to avoid all of that tedious paperwork.
Hutton Orbital, Mission After Action Incident Report. Date of incident, 18th of June, 3307. Location, Bardwaj Mineralogical Territory in Barnard Star. Trainees were Commander Witherspoon and Commander Beetlejuice. Training officers were Commander Rampage 77 and Count Nugget. The objective was to clear out the scavengers and power the base. So, after a successful initial training mission with Commander Witherspoon, Commander Rampage 737 was required to perform a collection mission, leaving Commander Count Nugget to take charge of the second mission with both trainees. The initial section was running to plan and on schedule with Commander Witherspoon, utilising his previous training and effectively neutralising the scavengers near the power centre, with Beetlejuice assisting, having pre-existing combat experience. Before moving to the mining area to clear the remaining scavengers, the power was restored, completing the training goal for Commander Beetlejuice. Commander Count Nugget took the opportunity to scan Commander Beetlejuice's profile to gain level 3 access and simplify the process of accessing buildings should the need arise. Unfortunately, having turned off flashlights to reduce the risk of detection, Commander Count Nugget failed to notice that she had unholstered the energy link instead of the profile analyzer, and on completion of the scan, a bolt of high intensity electricity arced from the muzzle into the oblivious Commander Beetlejuice, causing her to twitch violently, utter a particularly colourful expletive, and fall to the floor in a crumpled heap. While Commander Beetlejuice's training was complete, and Commander Witherspoon and Count Nugget did clear out the remaining scavengers, Commander Count Nugget would like to apologise for the untimely demise of a valued colleague and much-loved co-narrator of the famous, fabulous Galnet News Digest. We can only apologise on behalf of our trainee commanders and see that all things considered, it was definitely Rampage's fault.
Commander Westhorpe, otherwise known as Joseph K, found himself in solitary this week. And oh boy, was it solitary. After incurring one or two slight infractions, the hero of our story found himself incarcerated without the trial that you'd expect. So what? You might think, pay the fine and get on your way. Ah, now this is where it gets just a touch tricky. Commander Westhorpe, who we prefer to call Uncle Matt, had been outside the bubble in the pencil sector ELYD5 when he was picked up by the Fuzz. It just so happens that the nearest detention centre, appropriately called Pilgrim's Ruin, is in the HR3005 system, which is not exactly on the main tourist route, consisting of two stars, the detention centre, and not a sausage else. I know what you're thinking. Stop blabbering and just get a taxi! A touch tricky, because the only system within Apex transport range is Synerf ENHD1196, which is 13.7 light years away, and that system only has two outposts and no planetary settlements or ports. You're seeing the problem now. If you end up in the detention centre on foot, or with a ship whose jump range is less than 13.17 light years, you're stuck. Stuck like a fly in a very distant piece of amber, stuck with no hope of escape, unless someone with a very good telescope can interpret it messages sent in Morse code from your cell window when they get it at the earliest in a decade and a half. Luckily, Joseph K had nothing but time on his hand and managed to construct a quantum entanglement signaller using nothing but some pieces of wire pulled from the bulkhead, some sticky black plastic, some empty washing up bottles, a Lady Pleaser 3000, some crystals, and a working quantum entanglement signaller that someone had left in his cell. Dot 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 dash 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 dot dot went his message, thus demonstrating that he'd really should have attended more than one lesson at Morse code school. But luckily, it was enough. After a few days, his plaintive cry was picked up by the Pink Wafer, which was unaccountably cruising in the region, a likely story, and Commander Sally contacted the Pilots Federation to see what could be done. Even the Pilots Federation don't get a free pass when it comes to springing jailbirds, and so Commander Sally was forced to stump up the bail money, helped by several of her colleagues, unfortunately just about wiping out their credit balances, but plucky Sally got a lift to Pilgrim's Rest to pay the money in person. And so, with a single bound, Commander Westhorpe was free, and pausing only to tip his flight helmet briefly to salute to the rose-coloured recognizance remunerator, boarded the Pilots Federation shuttle to rejoin his ship, which had been towed to a nearby system. It was only afterwards that our commander remembered hearing, just as the airlock door was closing, a small pink voice asking, how do I get back now, guys? Guys? Guys?
Commanders have been wondering recently if some combination of time dilation, Die Hard and Groundhog Day has meant that it's Christmas every day. Commanders have been writing their letters to Santa many months in advance, saying, "Dear Father Christmas, I've been very good and I've only got notoriety of 3. I've not smuggled any more than 3 black boxes and I've only shot at pirates. For Christmas, please can I have some heat sinks, some chaff, some shield cells and some more ammunition?" And then presumably vaporise the letter, since it's very difficult to fit a chimney in the cockpit of an Imperial Eagle. Whilst we don't hold with superstition, nor do we claim any belief in supernatural creatures, something has read those notes. Because galaxy-wide, when pilots are glued to their seats and the countdown starts at 4, 3, some ninja present donor sneaks on board, empties their sack. Well, we're presuming it's a he, no female will be stupid enough to come on board at such a dangerous point in time, and exits again before the ship enters supercruise. Pilots check their ship's status and find that their letter has been answered, and they're full, and this happens again and again and again. We're concerned that just being given things like that disturbs the natural order of things, and the commanders may soon just start to expect stuff to be given to them for doing absolutely nothing. No, not like arcs. Those are completely, totally different. As Cecil says,
"To the heatsink fairy from me, Cecil. I'm really rather confused. I know I left the planet having ejected absolutely everything in my attempt to push the right button, but on reaching orbit, after a little visit to the little pilot's room, it was all back again. Except the gin. You forgot to put my gin back. Next time, if you're sneaking on board and putting things back where they weren't, but are now, would you mind awfully topping up the drinks cabinet too, please? Lots of love, me."
Lave. Lovely Lave. Shining orange jewel in the heart of humanity's big bubble. Every year, the station commander and chums throw a big party. You know the kind, the sort of thing that was grand ambitions to educate, elucidate and inform, but degrades by some time mid-afternoon into a Lavian brandy drinking session and someone's pet field mouse challenging everyone to an arm wrestle, as in the case of one commander actually beating him. Usually an opportunity for pilots from across the galaxy to congregate and listen to the wise words, chapters 1 through 12, of Station Commander Stroud's latest epistle, and marvel at the wonders being shown off by the Pilots Federation about what they're up to next. This year, there's a problem. An alliance-shaped problem. They've taken exception in these trying times to so many pilots, with so many allegiances arriving at Lave, which they still claim is theirs despite being relegated to the lower levels where the space rats nibble your bum. They're concerned about mods and Lurgy, and space truckers with mods and Lurgy, and Thargoids and NMLA terrorists. Possibly also cats, as we've heard they're allergic to them. So they've planned to park a number of Type 9s in the entrance to the station over the weekend of LaveCon and stop absolutely anyone entering the station. Not to be deterred, the pilots of the galaxy have come up with an idea. Hollow LaveCon. Yes, and even you can attend from the comfort of your ship, SRV, abandoned settlement, faraway orbital, or even just from down the corridor at a socially distant but definitely non-embargo breaking distance. As is traditional, the Hutton Chuckers will be putting in an appearance. Or at least, our voices will, accompanied by luminaries from the Pilots Federation, trying desperately not to say anything controversial, but having a bit of a laugh, skirting round difficult subjects. There's bound to be a bit of retro. These days, retro means flared flight suits, high-collared dominated outfits, and of course, wide-brimmed hats and cape accessories for your perfect maverick look. All rendered in 8-bit and with a catchy theme tune. Any pilots thinking of heading to Lave next weekend? That's next weekend, not this weekend. You know the one that happens more than 7 days in the future. Then be prepared to send your very best Holomy lookalike to take your seat. There are rumours that the team over at Spider-Man Systems have come up with a solution to the blockade. They've challenged the Alliance to a game of Lacon stick-em-up using a deck of cards, a couple of dice and some hastily salvaged counters robbed from a nearby settlement. We think there might be food chits for the staff.
It has often been said that trying to pin down a Hutton Trucker is like trying to juggle jelly with oily hands. It looks like a good idea at the time, but after the first throw, there's a sense that things are about to get messy. The same is true of our political cooperative. Try to do something bad and unexpected things happen. Now here at Hutton, we're not trying to take over the galaxy. That would be silly. A lot of hard work, and to be fair, we've got much more important things to do, like go out and sniff the space flowers on atmospheric worlds, and do odd things like try to walk around a planet non-stop without falling into a crevasse. As such, it has been noted that there are bad people out there, as mentioned in previous weeks, who are using crime as a way to attempt to hurt Hutton. They've lobbed their metaphorical jelly in the air and are looking up at it. But the jelly has its own ideas. The jelly wants to stay stable in influence. The jelly wants to float there nicely at about head height and not go splat. Here's a hint to Hutton's enemy, Boo. Lockdown isn't a bad thing. It means that for once, Hutton influence is actually moderately under control and not swinging around like a floor-mopping guy's mop after a particularly busy party. If only they'd do the bad things somewhere we want the bad things done, like Carcinari. More on that from Wanker in a bit.
Half time. That bit between all the excitement, where everyone gets to have a rest, break out the oranges, get an ice-cold, water-filled sponge dabbed on the back of the neck, and take a breather before attempting to do better than the opposition for the next bit. If you're a night shift commander, you might even break it into quarters. And if you're a fan of grunting and smacking things really hard, maybe you go and have a sit down under an umbrella every few grunts and have a swig of water. Whatever the case is, humanity seems to love taking a break right in the middle of doing something important or difficult. And it seems that we're not alone in the galaxy on this one. Round one of the Thargoids versus Everyone Cup took place a long time ago. So long ago now that the spectator stands are now looking like the now sunken gladiatorial ruins over in Italy on old Earth. Just about the only thing left is the hot dog stand to one side. Everyone knows that the mystery meat is actually indestructible and the onions have been cooking for the last few millennia and are just a little charred. However, the scene is set. The Guardians have substituted humanity at halftime in the hopes that it will blindside Tharg the Mighty's minions. Humanity's planning a 4-4 for the mug formation, and it looks like no one knows who the manager is. But whoever it is, if we lose on penalties, it will definitely be their fault and not that of the players. Well, we mean pilots. It's an away game for both sides, as it looks like the battle will be taking place on neutral territory. By neutral, we mean a place that hasn't yet been occupied by either side. But the Guardians, despite being awfully tired from the first half, have left their skimmers on the pitch. It should be noted, though, that they're prone to the own odd goal. Are you excited for the game of two halves to be entering the last two quarters? Will there be multiple touchdowns, 15-love and a tiebreak? Nobody knows, but we reckon the Pilots Federation have a master plan, and we can't wait to see what it is. Now, anyone got any good songs we can sing from the stands? How about a rousing rendition of THARG, He's Our Nasty Enemy, and calls of Hermans, Hermans, and sticking silly little flags to the outside of your spaceship to declare your allegiance.
Exciting times in the Hutton BGS recently. We have a new record of four simultaneous states in two systems at the same time. The Deputy Chief Assistant Under-Editor won't let me bore you with the specifics, but it's a long time since we've seen both an outbreak and a lockdown. Why, it's almost like Sol in the early 21st century. It's been a busy time in the BGS world this week, with the continued lockdown in Alpha Centauri denying Muggs and Megajin to the galaxy, and it's time for concerted action to stop the crime wave. Isn't it a good job I hoarded several lifetimes' supply of Muggs, Jin, and of course Bogroll, aboard my fleet carrier? Ha! No best before dates on Megajin. So now it's vintage. The medical outbreaks in Barnard Star and Alpha Centauri were quickly resolved, so well done to those marvellous merchants who moved mountains of meds. We still have a state of civil unrest in Barnard Star, so bounties are the order of the day, but prioritise the lifting of the lockdown in Alpha Centauri first. Rogue Sirius Corporation elements have been attempting to make up for their previous failure to snatch the closest system to Sol. Remember that time they lost 4-0 and ran away with their corporate tail between their legs? No? Well, you should, as it was only 3 weeks ago. Well, they've only gone and tried to take advantage of the lockdowns in our core systems and tried to pick on the tiny little hamlet system of none other than Avik. There was Mr. Avik, locking up his small family corner shop composed of his come-off license for the night, putting out the space cat, and a pair of dodgy corporate mega-corporation bruisers in red sweaters with stockings over their heads snuck up on him in the dark and whacked him over the head, gaining an instant 2-0 lead. Stunned, but being a fairly thick-skulled type, well-versed in the darker arts of on-foot combat, Mr. Avik shrugged off the blow and landed a few telling blows of his own in the Binary Planets department, and then went on to serve up a large steaming helping of what the night shift would call whoop-ass. Triumphant, he unmasked their stocking faces, actually it was a pair of tights that they hadn't bothered to separate, and told them they'd have got away with it if it weren't for the pesky cat. We're still not done with the adverse states this week, as we have double trouble in the Epsilons. Yes, Indy and Eridani have come down with an attack of the space lurgy and are both in outbreak. It's certainly time to be invested in pharmaceutical mega corporations, unless they're doing it at cost, of course. At the top end of the Hutton System League, well, it's not hard to spot, is it? 14% clear of the six-pack of overachievers, it's LP532-81 romping towards total system domination on 83%. Has someone been overdoing it in the Heeb City cash and carry again? You know you'll never eat all those pickled eggs. We're already in expansion from one of the other LPs, so one at a time, guys. One at a time. Meanwhile, in Colonia, Grand Moff Hanky asked that truckers fight for hot coal in the war in Pythias against the Colonia Cooperative, and that they ship power generators and water purifiers to Dola Depot in Tyr to get us out of the infrastructure failure. We still need to leave Hotel Carcinari where, ooh, we have another war. but we've got plenty to focus on in the core systems, so ignore it. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, truck meds by the truckload into the Epsilons to relieve the outbreaks. If you want to shoot something, and boy is there plenty to shoot at this week, turn in bounties in Alpha Centauri to lift the lockdown and then in Barnard Star to end the civil unrest. And if you still have any railgun rounds left after that, Stein 2051 has developed a bit of a pirate problem. We still need to exit Carcinari, so leave it alone.
Time for an update on expeditions, missions and competitions organised by you, the Elite Dangerous Community. Commander Mephisto has taken time out his busy day relaxing on the fleet carrier console as it ferries armchair explorers across all of the waypoints in the Cannon Challenge to send us this postcard from distant parts. Waypoints 38 through 44 of the Comfy Cannon Cruise featured more bull mollusks as well as parasol mollusks for a change, two kinds of E-type anomalies and a spectacular Rosium Lagrange storm cloud. Congratulations go to Commander L1 Rium for reaching Exploration Elite while getting ahead of the route. He, together with Commander Servalan, are now hanging out at the bar in Explorer's Anchorage and waiting for Consul's arrival in Stumay KM-WC1-342. An experienced fuel rat, who understandably wants to stay anonymous, forgot to equip a fuel scope when out mining tritium for Consul. It happens to the best. The captain himself eagerly jumped into the rescue, finally getting a chance to put the fuel transfer limpet controller bought for such occasions to its intended use. Details of the cruise are at bit.ly Comfy Cannon Cruise. The Artemis Biological Survey, which is searching for new biological features and exceptional geological formations, has beamed a message from the Inner Orion Spur. Commander Alistair Hope has sent us this report. This week, the Artemis Biological Survey reached its fifth waypoint in the Scordae Nebulae. Since the beginning of the expedition, the participants have collected data on 89 species living on planets with a thin atmosphere, which corresponds to 358 subspecies, coloured variants. This has generated an amount of genetic data sold to Vista Genomics of 1.318 million credits, spread over 63 commanders who upload their data into Sacrobog database. Beyond this, the photographic documentation of the species, the data collected, 4,744 entries at this point, allows us to increase our knowledge on the living conditions of the different species. We are currently working on temperature, pressure conditions needed for different species. Details of the expedition, including their Discord, being operated jointly in English and in French, can be found at bit.ly Artemis Survey. The Calypso mission, organised by the Titan contractors, has concluded, and the captain offers this farewell report. There are many more different types of life out there. These were only ones that were in the operating range of the TSV journey. We hope our mission encourages you to get out there and discover the diverse organic life that has lived undisturbed for millions of years. Our thanks go out to our commanders for helping return the TSV journey back to our control safely after Incident 3. We now intend to return to the Solaris carrier and mothball the TSV journey until it is needed again, with the crew returning to their own duties back aboard the carrier. Fly safe, Captain Lucien King and the TSV Journey crew. 07 XXX. The homepage for the TSV Journey, which has a link to all of the 100 plus reports, including incredible views in Report 62, dense grassy forests in Report 103, an attack of the on the journey in Report 111, and the conclusion of the mission in Report 118, is at bit.ly Titan Calypso. The Elite Dangerous clock moves closer to midnight, as it's less than 3 weeks now until King Hanky's party on the 14th of July, destined to make storming the Bastille look like a party for one during lockdown. Celebrate King Hardy's 6th Fleet Carrier with the Clone Meister, Snake Charmer, by seeking out the event on your Facebook events page. Not that anyone's done it up to now, but if you know of an event that we should cover, do get in touch, please.